this is the first time in history the census is counting marriages like ours.
It doesn't matter whether you have a legal marriage license or not. It only matters if you consider yourself married. That's what the census is asking for people to identify how they view themselves.
So fill out the census and let's show America how many of us are joined in beautiful, loving marriages.
That was George Takei of Star Trek fame and his husband, Brad Altman, encouraging same-sex couples to, quote, queer the census. You can see the whole video and some of our other favorite census-related videos on our 10 Questions That Count census page. You can test your knowledge with a census quiz. We'll ask Christine Quinn a census quiz question in a minute. We'll see if she's prepared. And you can access lots of other information there. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for our fun 10 Questions That Count census page. And that George Takei video is one of several public service announcements rolled out this week from the Census Bureau and LGBT advocates. And it's true, for the first time in history, the census will actually count same-sex partnerships. So to talk about the stakes for the LGBT community in filling out the census this way, especially in a state that doesn't recognize gay marriage, if you happen to be in New York or New Jersey or Connecticut, is New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. Speaker, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And we'll also talk about some other city business, as you know. But first, what are the stakes here? Why, quote, queer the census?
Well, the stakes here are very important. You know, there was a big and successful organizing effort by the LGBT community when this round census started ramping up, because there were questions about how people, particularly people who had gotten married in one state and went to another state, how they were going to identify themselves, and how couples who, like in New York, can't get married, how they were going to identify themselves. So individuals, advocacy groups organized and got the census, and the Obama administration and the president deserves a lot of credit, to change what the census's position on this was. So it's really important, because we fought so hard for this, that people fill out the census if they're LGBT and have their families registered and recognized the way they want them to be. We won this right. We now need to use this right. It's also important because the census is, for a decade, the document that basically says what the country is like. We want to make sure that LGBT families, in this one way that we can be recognized, are recognized through the census. Third, it's important because eventually we want the census to actually have a question that asks about sexual orientation and gender identity. And if you don't use a right you fought for and won, it's harder then to get that next right, and that's what we're going to be pushing for in the next census a decade from now.
And transgender people should similarly fill out the form however they identify.
Absolutely.
And just to prove it, here's the PSA directly from the U.S. Census Bureau.
The 2010 census is very important to the LGBT community in the United States. Same-sex partners and married couples will be counted. This year, transgender people will complete the census forms according to their true gender. So when your census form arrives, fill it out and mail it back. Be yourself and be counted.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, if I can add, and I'm glad you brought up the transgender issue. It's also really important to note for people who are of transgender experience and also LGBT people who are in the military, the census documents are by law confidential government documents. I've heard from some transgender individuals, they were afraid to be honest about their gender identity because if they lived outside of the five boroughs, New York State civil rights law, human rights law, does not protect under gender identity. So they were fearful, what if this document got out to other government agencies, as you might be if you were LGBT and in the military. That cannot happen with census documents. They are totally confidential, so people need not worry about that. Though I do think if you're transgender and you had that fear in filling out your census, you should write to the state legislature and tell them you had that fear, because it's yet another good reason why the state needs to pass the Gender Identity Equality Non-Discrimination Act.
And I think what we just heard was probably the first ever Mom and Apple Pie soundtrack, Norman Rockwell image, complete with the saccharine music, transgender-oriented government PSA, you think?
I think so, and I think things are evolving in a good way, but we need to keep pushing them even further. And if folks have any other questions from an LGBT perspective about the census or about the census in general, they can go to the council's website to our Action Center.
From our comments page, Matt writes, I filled out my census immediately upon receipt and mailed it back the same day. The push to encourage same-sex couples didn't make news until well after I mailed my census back, so my partner and I are listed as unmarried partners. They didn't check the spouse box because
right.
They're not legally spouses. Why the delay? I call this a missed opportunity, says Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was hope or a sense that the information that this change had been made had gotten out there after the work maybe 6 or 12 months ago to get the change had happened. Once we started to hear that you know, coverage information, once we got the change, hadn't really permeated, that's when this next round of work happened. But I think the gentleman's name was Matt. Matt is right. There were some lost opportunities in between there.
And before I ask you about St. Vincent's Hospital, while encouraging people to be yourself and be counted is a positive message, it doesn't change the fact that same-sex marriage is not legal in
Absolutely.
New York or New Jersey or in most states. Will getting an accurate count of people who consider themselves married already somehow shift the political will toward making same-sex legal in New York and elsewhere? What's the political strategy here?
Well, I think it will, and I hope it will. You know, sometimes one of the things that happens when you're involved in civil rights struggles, LGBT or otherwise, or human rights struggles, is opponents will play on fear. The sky will fall in if gay people can get married. Well, when you see through the census that there's actually lots of LGBT people out there who are not legally but living as married couples, and you know what? The world has gone on. That is evidence that all of us can use to fight those who are using fear as a reason to prevent the law from being changed. Bad things don't happen when LGBT people live together as a married couple or as a family.
I'm going to hold back the census quiz question.
I'm nervous about that. I didn't get a heads up on that quiz.
For the end, but I do want to ask you about St. Vincent's, the announcement that it will have to shut down because of massive federal budget shortfalls. Some people are saying protest to the state to save it. Here is Mayor Bloomberg yesterday saying something else.
I would just urge everybody that wants to save St. Vincent's, you call Albany. It isn't saving St. Vincent's. It's saving the HHC hospitals.
So if I understand the mayor correctly, he's more worried about state funding for the public hospitals in New York City, which are going to be additionally overloaded because of St. Vincent's closing, rather than getting state aid to this one hospital in the village. Do you see it as an either-or?
Both are incredibly important. I was before Speaker the chair of the City Council's Health Committee, so I care deeply about HHC and agree with the mayor that the state needs to prioritize our public health system here in New York in the state's budget process. But HHC, as great as it is, doesn't exist on the west side of Manhattan or the lower west side of Manhattan. When St. Vincent's closes its inpatient beds, there will be no inpatient hospital from Beekman to 59th Street. That's an enormous piece of property, and a piece of property that is going to, in the future, have even more people in it with the rezoning of the Hudson Yards that recently happened. It is, and this word gets thrown around a lot in government and politics, but there's no other word. This is a tragedy that we were unable to save the inpatient services at St. Vincent's. It is an enormous, enormous loss for the west side of Manhattan and for our whole city. And if there is anything that can be done to get the board to change their opinion, change their decision, put those acute care beds back in, or another provider out there that is willing to run St. Vincent's as a full-service hospital, we would more than welcome that, of course. And I'm very concerned if that doesn't happen. And by all accounts, it doesn't look like that is going to happen, given that some hospitals have looked and said no, and the board took this action. I am also worried now about what is going to replace St. Vincent's. If in the next few days there isn't a, no pun intended, Hail Mary pass or something that can get the board's action undone, we now need to talk about what are we going to replace some subset of the care with. We're never, you know, whatever we replace St. Vincent's with, if we can't find a way in the near future to save it, we're going to be at a loss, and we all need to recognize and admit that. HHC will do its best to absorb. Other hospitals will. You know, 911 will. But we are going to be at a loss, and that is just a fact.
I like the Hail Mary reference. Catholic reference through a football reference for a Catholic hospital. Was that a Catholic reference or a football reference?
You know, all of the above. And a Notre Dame reference, if you will.
There you go. And St. Vincent's, I'll just add, has sentimental value for me as well as practical value because we had both our children there.
Oh.
And the reason was that it was one of the few places where a midwife could deliver in a hospital setting, which was exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
And you just can't get that.
No, I mean, and that's a whole other issue going on now in our medical system is the loss of midwife centers. And St. Vincent's had a very good one, the Elizabeth Ann Seton Center, and that closed down a few years ago, which was kind of in some ways maybe the first insight into where St. Vincent's was heading. But those are for a lot of complicated political and insurance and other reasons, there are far fewer of those opportunities.
All right. One question, census quiz. In 2000, there were 50,000 Americans over age 100.
Really?
50,000 Americans over age 100 in the 2000 census. What is the 2050 census projection?
For people over 100? So there were 50,000?
In 2000. And I'm not looking at this census. This is the projection for 2050. Is it A, 75,000, B, 100,000, C, 200,000, or D, more than a million?
C.
D, more than
no
a million
way.
Projected centenarians for the year 2050 in America. So
look at us. That's exciting.
Put that in our Medicare projections,
there,
right?
Right.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, thank you for coming on with us and talking about the census and the St. Vincent's Hospital situation.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we will talk about how television has shifted from blatant product placement to so-called behavior placement. Stay tuned.